any time of year. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACGPSLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAFAIR.
CGA.
CGA. We don't speak for CGI either. We don't speak for the NSA.
Somebody should.
Somebody should. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet. So... It's, you know what? Summer, the dog days of summer are here. It's been heating up lately. I gotta water the zucchini every night. I look partway through the day and it looks like it's all about to fall over. Yeah.
Good to know. People are making notes about that at home right now.
Yeah.
Remind Bruce to water the zucchini.
Yeah. Getting close to being a granddad. Shelly sat here today and pulled out every stick of clothing she's gotten for this little kid that's not here yet.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. There's like, you know, I got to tell you, Shelly originally was not so excited about this, and now she's crocheting blankets and she's bought 75,000 onesies, and
I'm still not thrilled about it. It doesn't mean
please,
that I'm
she's
not
like, look how cute this is. Oh, look at this. It's so cute.
Yeah, basically this is an excuse for me to get my squee on.
Your what?
It's a chick thing.
Your
squee.
Squee.
Squee. Yeah. Hmm. But that doesn't mean I'm thrilled about it.
You don't have any grandkids on the horizon, do you?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. My oldest.
Oh, really?
Yep. Due early October.
Really?
Really.
Why didn't we know this?
You did know this.
We did?
You did.
When did we know this?
I don't know.
Right about the time you knew about yours.
I was probably...
You were so about you.
Yeah, it was all about us. Awesome.
Is it a little boy or girl?
They don't know.
Good.
They didn't want to know.
I didn't want
to
know either.
I told them to ignore the 11 toes.
Yeah, but you know what? If
what?
You know, then you can buy things that are for little boys, like what you've been doing. You wouldn't be buying, oh, I'm a big baby boy, or, you know, I'm a, you know, the ones you had that mentioned boys, you wouldn't be able to do that.
We have an interesting thing, though, that's come up. My ex is having a baby shower. My ex and my daughter's husband's mother don't really get along that well, so she's having her own baby shower. And my sisters have flat refused to go to the baby shower my ex is throwing, so they're throwing their own baby shower.
Wow, three baby showers.
Yeah.
And which one are you going to?
The one my sisters are throwing.
You're not. Yeah, I'm just going to say you're not going to the one back east for sure.
Well, no, nobody's back east.
I thought your ex was back
no,
east.
No, she remarried and she's in Monterey now.
What?
Yeah.
What?
She remarried?
So basically, this show is about revelations on Mark's life.
No, wait
she
a
got
minute.
Married 3 weeks after our divorce was final. You knew this.
To the guy.
Yeah, to the guy.
Oh, no, we did know that.
Yeah, we
You're
did.
Right, we did
yeah.
know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It's just all rushing back now.
That's right.
Like the tide.
I remember we went, well, gee, we could have died of the shock of that surprise.
Yeah, I fell over in shock.
Wow. You know what that means? It's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Bruce almost dooted right onto it.
Yeah, I had a...
Sorry, we had to wait for my knees to stabilize there when I got up. That was a bad one.
I had a...
You could dance if you want to.
No, not right now.
You can leave your friends behind. And if your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see.
Shout out.
Shout out to all the people I shouted out to last time.
Okay. Yeah, go listen to the last show.
Well, that's a perfect excuse to go and listen to the last show. We are in Salt Lake City.
We are.
Yes.
Wow, our world tour. Our world tour continues.
Brian sent this in. A teenager was charged with in the death of a soccer referee, Ricardo Portillo. He was 46 years old. He did a red flag card, black thing, dot, whatever they do.
Hang on a second. Bruce, was your microphone off through the whole first segment?
I'm not sure.
Oh, crap.
Okay.
I did hear a click, though.
Yeah, go.
Okay. Anywho. Yes. So this 17-year-old got pissed off because he got flagged or tagged or carded or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is in soccer. And he punched the referee, which gave him, he punched him pretty hard. He had brain damage and died.
Yeah. You know how long ago this was? There was actually a goal scored since then.
But this is an update.
Oh, okay. we're in extra time.
He has actually apologized to the family, said that he, you know,
sorry I killed your father.
Yeah, basically. You know, he's a teenager. He was just punching somebody. Teenagers punch each other all the time. It never occurs to them that somebody's going to die. And the prosecutors are seeking to have him certified as an adult, which means he could face serious prison time.
Well,
and the family...
For what? Involuntary manslaughter?
Yeah.
I don't think you get a ton of prison time for that.
Well, I don't know. At any rate, and obviously they're trying to argue that should be tried as a juvenile. And both families are okay with him being tried as a juvenile, which is interesting because the family of the guy that died, you would think, would be all pissed off.
Why?
And they said that they have given this whole issue to God.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought that was interesting because...
It was an unfortunate incident.
It was...
But I don't think the guy was, like, criminally, you know...
Trying to kill him.
Yeah, it's just... Dude, you got a yellow card and you took a swing at a guy. Didn't mean for him to die.
I've seen that more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some momentum. That's a good follow-through.
Well, and the really sad part about the whole thing is that he never meant for this to happen. This was just a moment of, I'm pissed off, I'm going to punch somebody. For the rest of his life, he's going to carry this with him.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's going to happen?
What?
He's got a bright MMA career in front of him.
Yeah.
We're going on to New York now.
New York, where?
Not Bloomberg again.
New York?
No, this is not Bloomberg. A Russian multimillionaire who lives in New York is an immigrant. Dmitry Itskov.
Itskov.
He's 32 years old.
Okay.
He's a multimillionaire. He is also, he's into neuroscience.
Okay.
He dabbles a bit.
Okay.
He and a bunch of scientists have put together a timetable by which we can become immortal. He believes that by 2020 that will have robots that we can control remotely with our brains.
That's not very long from now.
2025, what he wants to be able to have happen is that you can then use that robot as a prosthesis for your dying body. By 35,
we'll all be dead by then, so it won't matter.
They want to move your mind into the computer of the robot.
Yeah.
By 45, Matrix. You would no longer need the robot. You would just be literally
just
sort of like a hologrammatic.
You would just
being.
Be.
Your brain would be uploaded into a
oh my God,
digital
you'd be,
database.
You'd be
you
Rimmer.
Forever.
You'd be Rimmer from Red Dwarf.
You'd be Rimmer.
Which, if you don't know what the reference to that is, you'll have to look it up online. It's a holographic guy.
Okay.
I'll be dead by that time.
But the thing is, it's not just like this pie in the sky science fiction crap. I mean, he's got the scientists actually working on this.
Well, 81.
But in 12 years, you could start being the robot. And then you got some time.
You know what's going to happen. in 12 years, the Japanese will have a robot you can have sex with, and all the other shit will go out the window.
Yeah, because nobody will care anymore.
I think they already do. Don't they already have one of those?
They're not far off. They've got like these, like the greatest advances in robots are the Japanese doing like these sexy robots. It's like, are you kidding?
Cool. Do we have any stories with booze in them?
I don't know. I'm just doing what people send me.
Sheesh.
Let's see. Nope, that one doesn't have any.
You know what? If you're
some of this news has been fit for booze.
Maybe the robot will drink.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is booze, but there's definitely something wrong with this guy. In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hey, there's already something wrong with him.
Yeah, he's in Albuquerque on purpose.
Brian DeMarco was arrested on Thursday. As he was boarding a bus trying to get to Amarillo, Texas, because he had just called the FBI and let them know that he was blowing up their field office with a burrito.
Wow.
Did the NSA catch this?
Stop the presses.
The office was evacuated. The bomb squad was called in. They did find the burrito, and it turned out to be?
A burrito.
But he claimed that he had put explosives in the burrito.
The Taco Bell bomber.
And so he made this phone call, then tried to escape on a bus. It's not the best getaway car.
Now, just the fact that you said there was a bomb in it, he's going to go down like there was a bomb in it.
Yeah. I ate 3 burritos one time, bean burritos.
You left the bomb.
Bombs for the rest of the day. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking for what stories that have booze in them.
I've got Shelley scouring the stories.
You're going through shows and shows.
Well, we do have kind of a heroine of the week. I mean, she saved her kids, but she's still a heroine, I think.
The heroine of the week.
Heroine of the week. As we wait while we get the kazoos out. Ready?
Kazoos brought to you in part by Bill Piper.
This comes from to us from Baytown, Texas.
The Baytown Outlaws.
Dorothy Baker.
Also a pretty good movie.
Was driving home in her minivan with her 2 sons, who are aged 5 and 2. There was a man hiding in the third row of the minivan.
Wow, the third row seat.
Yep, crept up into the front portion of the van.
Didn't have a seatbelt on, obviously.
Obviously not.
Laws against that.
Put a knife to her throat, demanded money, said he was going to hurt her kids. He said he wanted $200. She said, I don't have $200. He said, you better figure it out, or he was going to stab the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she got a little ticked off. Yikes. I didn't turn my phone off. Can you just push the red button? Push the red button. Not that one. No, the other one.
The red button.
On the other side.
3, 2, 1.
Give me the phone.
Red button.
Okay, I meant the button over on next
to
the red button.
Oh,
whatever.
It's not a red button.
Push the red button.
I go to push the red button. She goes, not that red button. It's the only red button.
So let's just be glad he's not in charge of the button.
Yeah,
not
and
the green
and
wire.
The other one isn't red at all.
Okay, well, whatevs. Anyway.
I don't have a green wire.
Where were we? With Dorothy Baker.
Right. So what'd she do?
She got a little ticked off. Now, but keep in mind, this is Texas. She said, get the hell out of my car. So then she punched him in the face. While they're moving, she's still driving. She punches him in the face, get the hell out of my car. He says, fine. Then starts to get out of the car, and then she thinks, wait a minute. So she whips the van around and runs him over.
Wow.
Nice move.
Yes. So the police did. Pick the guy up, and they arrested him. They found out that he is actually wanted on a 1976 rape charge.
Oh,
that's a long time.
Long time ago, but he is.
1976.
You know, if a guy puts a knife to your throat when you're driving and you speed up to like 100 miles an hour, wouldn't that guy think twice about stabbing you?
You'd think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because you're both going down.
Right.
So are the kids.
And he's not belted in.
There's some movie like that where, you know, there's no kids in the back seat, but, you know, they, like, hold a gun on the guy, and the guy just, like, floors it, and he's doing, like, 110. He's like, go ahead, shoot me.
Yeah, shoot.
Oh, I found it. I found a booze story.
Yay!
Fairbanks, Alaska. Merrill Keith Moses. Three names. This is not the first time that he has done this. Apparently, he goes into the Fred Meyer grocery store there in Fairbanks quite often gets into one of the little carts, you know, completely intoxicated, and then basically pinballs around the store, knocking people over, knocking stuff
That's
over.
That's awesome.
And he does this
Is
quite
there
often.
Security cam footage of this guy?
We should look it up.
There must be.
So finally, this has gone on for a while, and I guess basically, you know, he's like the town drunk or whatever. The employees just kind of try to catch him and get him out of the store.
Lasso him.
Well, they finally got ticked off and called the police and told them this was an ongoing problem. So he was charged with a DUI of a little cart. His BAC at the time of his arrest was .31.
He needed the cart.
Wow.
He needed the cart. He couldn't walk at that point.
Wow.
He was also charged with petty theft because he took a box of cake mix and a bag of chocolate chip cookies that he did not pay for.
Now, are you guys familiar with said Fred Meyers?
Said
Fred? It's the same company that owns Kroger.
Said Fred?
And
well, I don't know if you've ever been. When I lived in Oregon, they had Fred Meyers. Fred Meyers is not just like a store. I'm driving along, and I'm looking for a liquor store, actually, which it turned out they didn't have. Yeah. And I go into this place, and there's a Fred Meyer grocery store.
Uh-huh.
Next to it is like the Fred Meyer movie theater.
Uh-huh.
Next to that is the Fred Meyer beauty shop.
Uh-huh.
Next to that is the Fred Meyer bakery.
Uh-huh.
Then was the Fred Meyer auto care. It's like Fred Meyer is like an entire mall of crap that's all Fred Meyer. It's the craziest thing ever.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
Welcome back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College
at selfwillhappens.com.
Matter of fact, we got another shout out. Yeah. Well, I'll save it for after the topic here. We got a topic from Fran.
Our favorite Fran.
Our number one Fran.
Our number one Fran. She says, love when you share is my topic idea. I love when you sent this to Shelley. I love this when you, Bruce, and Mark share. Whatever the topic, I listen and take with me what you give. Is there someone you hang on to every share in a meeting?
Bruce.
Also, she wants to give a shout-out to Arla E. in East Tennessee. I have lived her share since the beginning. So I think, you know, is there those people that you hear them share and you just totally dig when they share?
Yeah, you.
Yeah. How about you, Shelley? Is there anyone you listen to where you just go, oh, yeah. Peanut Gallery's over here like
taking a bow.
Taking
like
bows.
Take a victory lap. Take a victory lap, Michael.
There have been a number of people. Yeah, actually, there's when I first got sober, there was a gal, and I don't even remember her name, but and she moved to Canada right after I got sober. What is your problem?
He'd like his coffee.
Oh. Okay.
How is it Mark and I figure it out?
Okay,
wow.
Really not happy with this.
Well, no one on the show heard that. You might have heard what sounded like a gunshot in the background. It's fireworks time.
I hate this time of year. I used to love the 4th of July. Now, it's like, can we just get it over with? Anyway, where was I? I don't even remember the girl's name. It was one of the early meetings that I went to, and then she moved to Canada, so I never really got to know her very well. But she said in her share that sometimes the best she can do is just get her head to the pillow sober. And I really related with that. And I have carried that around because there are days like that. It's like, okay, I'm going to bed. Thank God I'm sober. That's, you know, if I've had a day like that, you know, and then I had like 30 days and I went to the Alcathon. And there was a gal named Julie there, and she shared that her life was none of her business. And I was baffled by that, absolutely baffled. And she was talking about, you know, giving things to God and that, you know,
yeah,
that whole bit. But I had no concept of that, and it was so startling. That concept was so startling, and I actually thought about it for weeks after that. You know, so there are things, it's usually for me, the things that I take away from meetings like that that someone shares are little things like that that kind of jolt me out of my thinking rut. You know, and sometimes I remember the person's name, and sometimes I don't. But for me, that's part of the miracle of the program, is you're sitting there, it's an average meeting, and all of a sudden somebody says something that sticks with you. And that's one of the reasons I keep going.
How about you, Mark?
Nah.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that I enjoy hearing them share. I have one guy who I heard him share several times, and he recently went out, and he just came back, and he asked me to sponsor him, which I've never sponsored somebody who had like 7 years and went out before, so some kind of a new thing for me. But I always enjoyed hearing him share. When I was first in the program, there were several people, when they shared, I always, you know, when you're new in the program, I mean, when I was new in the program, you always, the last one or two people that shared always seemed to be the ones who, you know, kind of wrapped up the meeting, wrapped up the evening, you know, sort of like you do.
Yeah.
You know.
And you.
Yeah, we, you know, when you and I are in a meeting together, it's kind of interesting to watch the jockeying for position.
Yeah. Who's going to share last?
Yeah, so, well, you could share last because I don't want to follow you, so.
You know, I think when I was newer, it was similar for me. Like when I was at this Los Encinas meeting, there was a guy named Cowboy Bob. You know, and Cowboy Bob, I just used to love to listen to this guy share, and it didn't matter what the topic was. I'd just be fixated on this guy, and he didn't have like a tremendous amount of time or anything, but I just really liked it. Then there's people that are speakers that I really like to hear them share. There's been some people that when Shelley was running a rather large speaker meeting out in Pomona, California, and there was a guy, and I've heard him speak twice, and he was a guy, and I think he's a white guy, but he used to talk about hanging out with all the lowriders, all the lowrider Mexican guys, and this guy just slayed me every time he spoke. And it's kind of like when you hear a thing like Sister B.
Sister B, yeah.
And Sister B, it's like, I've never heard her speak in person, but I would love to, you know. There's people that I know that are my friends in meetings that I just hear them speak, and I'm always attentive to what they say. Then there's also friends of mine that speak in meetings, and I'm rarely attentive to what they say. Just, it depends. You know, sometimes I think it has to do with the topic. I'll give you an example. Shelley and Mark were at a meeting one time. This person is going on and on about how wonderful smoking coke is.
Romancing the stone.
You know what? I couldn't wait for these guys to share. It's like I'm sitting here waiting for them to go, and I'm looking at both of them.
We both look like horses in the starting gate.
Oh,
right?
My God. They were like so excited, and finally when they went, and I think, I can't remember who said it, but one of you guys says, "Why don't you shut up?" And I was like,
"Oh
my God!" And I was just fixated. I was
the one that said, "You're gonna die," and Mark was the one that said, "Shut up."
Oh my God! And I was like so caught up. I was so caught up in it. There's a guy that
you know was coming.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy that I know too, who we haven't seen very much lately. I don't know what kind of program he's working these days, but I always used to like to hear him share. He's a guy, we just don't see him that much anymore. He did some kind of strange things, and I don't know what's going on with him, but, you know, I used to always listen to him. And he might be an example of someone that talks the talk better than walks the walk. Because sometimes I can like people for what they're saying in a meeting, even if I know they're not doing it away from the meeting because they're still serving a purpose. Some people may be really caught up in what they're sharing. What they're sharing is total program. Total program. So, Shelley, you think you're that way for other people?
I doubt it.
I can rarely think of a meeting where people try and get you to share.
I will share if I'm called on. I don't raise my hand. If God wants me to talk, he'll call on me.
But there's people that try and get you to get called on.
Thank you, because I've called on you before.
Yes, but God is working through you. You're not God.
Oh damn.
God, you just let the air out of that one.
You know, there was, when you were talking about speakers, there's a woman that I've heard her speak like 3 times. In fact, I booked her twice at that big meeting that you were talking about when I was the secretary there, because I was going through a protracted period of thinking I was the scum of the earth and, you know, my self-esteem was in the toilet, and she said something that just completely shocked me in her share. She gets to the end of her share, and she's talking about how much her life has changed, and, you know, she's into the third part, which is, you know, the hope part of your share, what happened after. And she gets to the end, and she had this horrific childhood. She had a terrible time when she was out there. I mean, she's just, the story is just tragic. But she's just so upbeat and happy, and she gets to the end of her share, and she says, you know, I didn't come from much, but look at me now. I am beautiful. And she didn't mean physically. I get choked up just thinking about it. But that statement, that somebody would just say that without being totally self-conscious and not, like, bragging or tooting her own horn, that it was just her truth, was so shocking to me that I was like, I had to book her again because I needed to hear it again. You know, and that will happen to me once in a while, where I will listen, like you were talking about with the speaker, that you want to hear again because you need to get more out of it. But usually it's the little things in meetings. And when you were talking about, like, people you don't listen to in meetings,
mm-hmm.
like friends, I went through that rut period where everybody I knew was saying the same crap, and I was like, whatevs, just watching the clock and not. And then after I talked to my sponsor about it, and I went to some other meetings. She said, change your meetings up a little. I went to a couple of other meetings, went back to my old meetings, and then suddenly people, my friends are sharing things that I'm really relating to, and I'm like, oh, yeah, but they always said that. Well, why does it work now? Because I'm listening with different ears now.
Ooh.
You know, that's, so there was a little bit of a difference there.
I just thought of someone that maybe all three of us like to hear share. I do. Certified.
Yeah.
There's this guy we know.
Yeah.
We call him Certified. This guy, when he's, even if he's sharing, like, and not because he's a great speaker, but even if he's sharing, he sounds like a Baptist priest, like throwing down the brimstone. He's like
preacher.
Yeah.
Preacher.
Like just totally. It's captivating, and even he's like almost theatrical when he speaks. Even if it's a share.
Yeah. He was so funny when he came in because he was so full of just this heightened anger. And I remember he was standing, and I was there, and Reggie was there. There were like 3 or 4 of us there, all, you know, 20 years plus. And he started going off about something, and he'll share about it. They'll say, also, I looked, and all you guys were just sitting there laughing at me hysterically. Well, I was Sherry. He goes, and I was serious.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, we know you were. But
well, but the funny thing is, though, there's people like that, you know. And it's not always, like, I've found that when I've gone to meetings, like Shelley said, where I don't normally go, I've gone a few times to this meeting called the Sick, Lame, and Lazy. And in the Sick, Lame, and Lazy, I have, like, you know, I've got 23 years. I have, like, medium time in there. I mean, there's people that are newer than me, certainly, but there's a bunch of guys with more time than me. You know, there's a bunch of guys with 30 years, and there's this guy, and I can't remember what his name is, but he's a Scottish guy. and he's got a heavy brogue, and when he's sharing, man, it's like you can't not listen to him because his voice is so commanding and so out there that you're hanging on every word because you kind of understand what he's saying, you know, and it's like you get all caught up in what he's doing. And of course, I love to hear my friend Michael share. I had to say that for the peanut gallery over there.
Yes, we love to hear him share because it happens so rarely these days.
Well, you know, we have this friend Michael who's been on the show before, actually, back in the day. And Michael, I remember we used to go to coffee and he'd sit there and he wouldn't talk at all.
Totally silent.
Totally. And I'd be like, how come you're not talking? He goes, I got nothing to say. I said, you got tons to say. You just got to start saying.
He's got 3 years now. Now he's got tons to say.
Yeah. Now he's got 3 years. He's got tons and tons and tons to share.
I'm thinking about having to be my new sponsor.
Awesome.
So,
what about the shares that we love because it reminds us of what we don't want anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can we all think of the one person who shares that just makes us cringe as soon as they open their mouth?
There's one guy. I don't know his name because I never saw him again. And I was the secretary of the Monday meeting. You might have been there that night. I'm not sure. And he stood up. He was sitting on Wet Brain Row in the back of the room. He stood up, and he's swaying back and forth. And the entire room knew that he was drunk because we could all smell it. And he's swaying back and forth. I got something to say. Sort of like James with his, when he went off like that. And he's talking about rainbows and love and, doing the typical, it would be a drunk dial about how much he loves the whole world because he's drunk and he loves everything kind of thing. And it was so hilarious that we didn't even shut him up.
Did he have long hair?
No.
Oh.
He was so funny that nobody, I was laughing so hard I could not say you can't share your drunk because I was laughing too hard. And it was, but I was glad he was there because it reminded me of, we were all laughing at him. I don't ever want to be in that position. So he was an object lesson for the whole room in what you don't want to do.
Mark has baited me. Because he thinks there's someone that we should immediately know. Did I ever sponsor him?
No, I just want to know if there's some there's got to be a name that immediately comes into your mind when you go, the person who, as soon as they open their mouth, you just shut off.
Chris.
I was just going to say that. Oh, my gosh. That was the one I was going to say.
All right. So it's unanimous.
It's unanimous.
In fact, not just shut off my mind, but to the point where when he would open his mouth, I would go, ugh, and do the epic eye roll.
Well, you know, the thing with Chris, God bless his soul, is that...
Why, is he dead?
He didn't think...
Yes, damn it.
It's like he didn't think that... He wasn't sure he had a good enough story. So he'd go out and he'd get really plowed and he'd come back in and share about it. And be like, well, I had 14 Jell-O shooters. Is that a lot? And people be looking at him like, dude, A, no, that's not really a lot. Yeah. And B, why are you sharing like that anyway? Are you trying to get a good story?
Yeah.
God. Yeah. There's been a number of people like that over the years. When they share, you just go, my God.
I was at a meeting one time when I was at a meeting and there were a lot of patients there from the recovery center at the hospital. And somebody picked one of them to lead the meeting, which is a train wreck to start with.
Yes.
And then she decided it was going to be a round-the-horn share. So all the patients were sitting together.
So they all pick each other.
Well, no, around the horn. So you go to
right.
You just go around the room. So the first 9 shares are all patients, all trying to outdo how much they drank or used from the share before.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just sitting there going, this train just keeps on exploding. More cars are falling off the tracks.
Well, when it gets to that point, I have in meetings when people have started doing that, the choo-choo train of drunkalog, gently reminded people that we were here to share our experience, strength, and hope, not just the experience.
Oh.
Experience, strength, and dope.
Dope, yeah. they were carrying the mess.
Yeah.
You know what? There's another one who, on occasion, I've totally been into what he's sharing, and on occasion, I've totally not been. And this guy's spiel usually starts out with, you know, I've got 17 years, and I never found the need to go out and drink.
I like him.
Epic eye roll.
Well, sometimes I really like him.
I always like him.
Really? Sometimes
no,
I really
sometimes
like
him. No, because sometimes I get a really good message from him, and sometimes I'm really grateful for what I have.
Either way.
Yeah.
It works either way.
But he's great because he's right, mostly.
Well, remember, he almost single-handedly killed a meeting at Charter Oak Hospital. He went in and he told everyone.
Two meetings.
He went in and told everyone they were going to die drunk.
He told everybody
drunk.
The truth.
Well, yeah, he goes, most of you guys are going to die drunk.
Well, you know, but that's the problem we've talked about, is this program has changed so much that he went and told the truth, and the counselors at the program decided that the patients didn't have to go anymore because it wasn't right to hurt their feelings.
Hey, I like to hear Shelly. I like to hear Shelly's sponsor.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah,
she's got a good message.
Sucks, but she's cool.
Yeah, she's a horrible sponsor, but you know. So Shelly, what is your final words?
On love, what you share.
On love, what you share.
I go to meetings to hear what other people have to say. I don't always want to say something myself. If I have to, I will. But I try to love what they're sharing and not what I'm sharing. Because if I'm all caught up in loving what I share, my program's going to go downhill real fast.
Mark.
What?
You have any final words?
I think it's important to share from your heart. If you share from your heart, you'll always love what you share.
My final words are, I truly love to hear both Shelly and Mark share. So there you go. I tell you, Shelly is one of the best speakers I know.
Absolutely.
She is. Mark, we have a friend back east.
That would be Bruce.
The Other White Meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you and get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service.
Yes.
If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he'll send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
What if you want to start one of those in your own area?
Then you should do what we told you to do on the other shows.
Yeah.
Contact Bruce to give you all the information you need to start your own.
Shelly, people are listening to the show.
If you're listening to the show, any way that you listen, we are happy and grateful that you are here with us. I'm so glad that we've had this time together.
Just to have a laugh and sing a song.
But if you could, it would be great if you went to Podomatic.com. Go to our site. It's either Podomatic.com or Recovery101.net. If you go to Podomatic.com, then I think that you can find our show, and it'll be
rather
easier to
easily.
Like.
Recovery101.podomatic.com.
Yeah. You can find our show very easily, though. Just look at the top 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
Click on a show, click like or permalink. You've been counted. If you're not a member, you will have the opportunity to become one, and you should because it's free.
And fun.
You can like old shows, leave topic suggestions. You can leave comments. You can follow us. You can get automatic updates of when we post the shows. And do the all-important, putting us all in playlists.
Whoop.
Yes. And just fill up that thing with playlists.
Awesome.
I'll fill up your playlist with whatever.
Yeah.
Should they go check out our Facebook group, Shelly?
We do have a Facebook group. It's Recovery 101. It has a little green tree in the corner. It is a closed group, which means you can see that the group exists so that you can request to join, but it does not show up on your news feed for those of you who want to talk about recovery without having the entire Facebook community knowing about it.
Just all of us in recovery and the NSA.
And the NSA.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Important. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got, you can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly!
Looking for trouble.
Looking for trouble is the lead out music today. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
care of you.